Just curious, how many of you went for Taylor Swift and came back? Raise your hand. Ah, quite a few. Enjoy. How many went for SHINee? You know what SHINee? Who is that? You know, it's a Korean band that also had a concert in Singapore. It has been a great... How many of you are going to watch Liverpool, Manchester City tonight? Yes. Not a lot, okay. So lesser and lesser football crowds, but it's okay. We are here as fans of Jesus Christ, amen. You know, as a pastor and the privilege of being a pastor or a coach, many of people that I come in contact with in our conversation and in our interaction has been circulating around, getting advices, trying to make sense of things. And it is very important for them in their mind how to make better decisions after they see somebody. It could be their mentor, it could be their teacher, lecturer, it could be someone that they think it's ahead of them, that they went to seek for help and to search out for how can I make better decisions. So that's the privilege that I've had sitting at a chair. People will come and say, Keith, what do you think that should I opt for this course? Or my daughter is going for streaming, whether it is business or science, or some wants to study architecture, some wants to study accounting, maybe mass communication, psychology. They are asking like if AI will take over the job or not. They will lay out a lot of possibilities. And best still, a lot of people also come and say, do you know what? Should I date this person? What do you think? Are we a good match? Or actually, do I marry this person? Do I have kids? Do I buy this house? Do I go into this investment? Do I partner this person to start a business? There are all kinds of questions when they come to us. And a lot of times, when I was listening to them, and they asked, do you think I should marry this person? Should I marry now or should I marry later? Should I go into this investment, this new project after I see this showroom? Should I apply for this loan or that loan? Which bank you go to? Which bankers that you use? And a lot of these questions. And when you listen and you look at them, inside of me, it's like, I'm also not God. How I know? You understand? But of all that, right, you're very afraid to give opinions and advice because the decision that they make, the commitment that they make would actually probably at some point or some decisions are so major that it could steer the direction forward or backward. So, but one of the things that you do as a pastor or as a leader is that you help them to explore the cause of that decision. You help them to explore and you prepare them and say, so if you're going to get married with this person, are you ready to leave your certain freedom, maybe leave your certain luxury? Or if you go into business with this partner, are you ready to protect this relationship at all costs? If you commit yourself to buy this house, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Do you know the cost? Do you know the cost of your decision? The better you know the cost, the better you are ready for the challenges ahead and you will stick to your decision. Does it make sense to you? So costing is so important in our lives. But sometimes I realize as a church, we are not teaching people to count the cost. It felt like you just received a flyer somewhere that the highlight was you're going to win this prize. You're going to get this TV. You're going to get this lucky draw. Coming to church, knowing Jesus Christ, you're going to win this lottery, win that prize, entitled for this, sign up for that, go for this. So it is very much... Do we have the picture of the flyer just now? I have prepared for you the flyer so that you can see, huh? An illustration. That you see the big print that you could be the lucky one. The picture, the color is so attractive that it felt like, hey, you know what? Coming to church, you stand a chance to win this. You stand a chance to find your future wife. You stand a chance to establish your business. There's good networking here. There is good, a lot of times, even you can learn English. You can learn leadership. And I realize a lot of times when we don't properly spell out the cause of being a disciple or being a follower of Jesus Christ, we shortchange that person. We will think that, oh, people might be scared and they don't want to come anymore. Oh, this is too difficult for them to digest. Oh, this is something that they would not like. But I realize this again. Many of you, how many of you use iPhone in this place? Raise your hand. half the hall. How many of you agree that iPhone is expensive? But why then you commit to it? Why? How many of you sign plan with any telecommunication provider? How many of you sign a plan when you buy a phone? Wow, very little. All of you buy cash? Huh? Installment? But I realized that when you make that choice of 128, 256, 512, 1 terabyte, you are counting the cost for monthly commitment and all. But as we come to church, one of the things I realized that greatly need to be reminded or teach about is the cost of following Jesus Christ. The cost of following Jesus Christ. Can I have an amen? You know, when I was in studying in Monash, some of my friends will take this subject called cost accounting. They hate this subject. I don't know why. I'm not a business student. But some of them need to take a few times to pass the cost accounting. You know what's cost accounting? How many of you took cost accounting before? Raise your hand. Eh? Quite a lot of you. Quite a lot of you. It is to teach you to count the cost. The aim is for the student to have comprehensive understanding of how costs are measured, analyzed, and managed within organizations. Understanding the different types of costs and classifying them appropriately. This includes distinguishing between direct costs, such as raw materials, you know, indirect costs, such as overhead expenses. So it equips them with the knowledge and skills necessary to make informed financial decisions and contribute to the financial success of that business. But I come to realize, in order for us to successfully follow Christ, in order for us to look like a disciple of Jesus Christ, if a church fails to teach the cost of discipleship, we fail as a church. Hello, are you all with me? That we just promise them a lot of promises, but when they step into it, you know life happens. You know disappointment sets place. You know that relationship got challenged. You know that things are not a bed of roses. And as a result of that, they will leave church because they said, this is not what you promised. This is not what you say. This is not as good as it seems. So it is very difficult. If we want to build the kingdom of God, we need kingdom builders. Say, I'm a kingdom builder. But the quality of the builder is very important. You understand what I'm trying to say? We cannot just simply hire somebody to build something. If this person has no plumbing knowledge, if this person has no M&E knowledge, if this person don't have CNS knowledge, you're going to build what? Build an imagination. But if you want to build something, the higher it goes, the more depth it should go down. Are you all with me? So in this season, Paji has taught us that it is very important as a follower. There are things that we need to understand. There are things that we need to embrace. That's a lifestyle that we need to have. But today, what I want to share with you is to understand this, that the problem of the church today is not the lack of knowledge and commitment. It is the lack of depth in their knowledge and commitment that is the problem. The problem of the church today is not the lack of knowledge and commitment. It is the lack of depth in their knowledge and commitment in Christ that would really cause the church to suffer. You know, Luke 14:25-33, it says here, large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such person cannot be my disciple. Everyone say, wow, go home, Lord. It is so difficult. But are we willing to dive deeper? If God, you are a loving God, Jesus, why you said that? If you hold my eternity, if you really are a God that is by grace, why would you say things like that? You understand? That means, let's just move on. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. So next verse. 30, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. You see, this is wisdom. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything, you cannot be my disciples. It is difficult. But then, what am I trying to tell you? You see, when you go against, you have 10,000, your capacity is only 10,000, your enemy for you to fight and win that battle, whatever God has set the course for us to be His disciple to overcome, if you can't, at least would you go and negotiate? Would you really go and talk to God? Or you immediately, because you have no relationship with God, you will just say, oh no, this is not for me. The key is to draw near to your master. Draw near to your disciple. Mark chapter 8, verse 34 to 38, it says, then he called the crowd to him, saying along with his disciple and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me, for the gospel, will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in the adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes to his Father's glory with the holy angels. You see, counting the cost is so important. There is a price. Everyone say, there is a price. There is a price to follow Jesus. Letting you know this as early as possible and as realistic as possible, right from the Word of God, could be the most blessed or important thing that you would know in your life. That it is so important for us to know before you commit, you count the cost. You count the cost to see if you are able to continue to follow Him. So following Jesus demands us to look at our life. But then you might argue, you might ask, Keith, isn't it true that we are saved by grace? Isn't it true that we are saved by faith through grace for good works? That means good works is not something that we do to earn our salvation. Don't you remember the sermon that you preached on the finished work of God, finished work of the cross, ED? It has been paid for. Everything is being paid, done, and I have to just live under the grace of God. So what are you talking about here, making it so difficult? Isn't it my whole life adventure, my whole life posture is to appropriate myself under the grace of God? It is the grace of hand that is writing my story. And now here you are talking to me that it is about counting the cost. What are you trying to say? You know, Dallas Willard said it very well. He said, grace is not opposed to effort. It is opposed to earning. Earning is an attitude. Effort is an action. Grace does not just have to do with forgiveness of sins alone. You see, if we continue to live by grace and thinking that we earn the salvation, what has become of us is a lack of depth and character as a Christian. But God wants us to continue to have effort to pursue Him, to know His ways, to know that it is not always easy. Why? Because the real price at the end of the finishing line is a good and a faithful servant, not a servant just with a lot of accumulations. You understand what I'm trying to say? Because when you cross that race, when you sign up this course, you want to pass the test, you want to do well, the requirement, the criteria is that at the end of the day, this is a character molding journey rather than a blessing collection journey. At the end of the day, when we see our Savior, when we see our Maker, when we see our Creator, it is not to see, so see God, this is what I have accumulated. This is what I have it for myself. See, this is my effort. This is my way, my glory. No, It is to go and meet Him and say, God, I have done it Your way. That is the best way to live. God, I have settled this issue Your way. I have come to this success Your way. I have made peace with this difficult situation Your way. So, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, it says, because the Lord disciplines the one He loves, and He chastens everyone He accepts as His son. You're saying, Keith, this is getting tougher and tougher. The whole hall is getting quieter and quieter. I'll continue on in Hebrews 12, verse 11. Just in the next few verses, it says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. The end result is that we will produce a harvest of righteousness. If we say that relationship is the key hallmark of Christianity and it is not a religion, if it is based on intimacy with Him rather than all the do's and don'ts, then are we paying the price to build an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ or not? You know, no relationship comes just like that. No relationship comes just casual and no commitment. That is called a fling. That is called flirting. That is just called no commitment. No, every relationship that is meaningful requires commitment. Am I right or not? Every relationship that is satisfying in life, that has eternal purpose, requires us to count the cost, to learn to forgive, to learn to unselfish ourselves. So is your relationship with God. You know, the more discipline you have in life, the more freedom you will have as well. The undisciplined are slaves to their moods, appetites, and passions. The disciplined are the masters of their own desires and emotions. So Richard Foster, in the Celebration of Discipline, said this, superficiality is the curse of our age. Superficiality is the curse of our age. The doctrine of instant satisfaction is a primary spiritual problem. The desperate need today is for a greater, not for a greater number of intelligent people or gifted people, but for deep people. The greatest need for the church of 2024 is not for more intelligent, creative people. They are God's gifts, I understand. But the real crisis here is that we are lacking people that are deep in their walk and their understanding and their love for God. You know what I'm talking about. So we don't cheat ourselves. We don't lie to ourselves by saying that we are a healthy church and we are a great church when we don't have depth in our understanding of God's Word. We cannot lie to ourselves and say that this is what God will be pleased. All of us, we need to deepen our walk with God. It is not easy, and it is not always that straightforward. In this process of discipleship, we are called to abide in Jesus Christ. Are we willing to go deep today? That is the question that I want to ask collective. Ask your neighbor, are you willing to go deep? How many of you got an answer that says see first? I understand. Because now we are going into counting the cost. Definitely all of you will pause and think. Are we lying to ourselves? Are we cheating ourselves that we live a good Christian life and being a disciple of Jesus Christ when we are not really following after our Master? Following is not your click. Follow, unfollow your Shopee favorite vendor. Follow, unfollow your Instagram. Follow, unfollow your Facebook friends. This following requires effort. You cannot earn your salvation, but it needs effort to shape you to be like Jesus Christ. And it is not always easy. So before we explore like self-mortification, self-denial, before we explore whether you should really dive deep into understanding certain theology or giving up certain things or going full-time or being missionaries or starting some ministry anywhere else, before we explore all these things that are step by step, let's look at now. Now, everyone say now. Look at now. What state are you in? Let's have an accurate assessment of what state are you in. What kind of discipline should you start with as a disciple of Jesus Christ? I would propose for all of us here this morning, let's make a decision first and foremost to have the discipline of living an unhurried life. To have the discipline of living an unhurried life. The modern man is obsessed with a life in a fast lane. If you're not in the fast lane, you are deemed to be weak and unsuccessful. We lived in a fast-paced society, all in the name of progress. All in the name of progress. Because we want to progress, because we want to grow, because we want to progress, that's why we need to be faster and faster and faster. As I've said this before a couple of times, hurry is a disease. Hurry and love are incompatible. Grace grows into our soul like God's kingdom being a seed planted in the ground. The seed slowly sprouts to the sky. The crops slowly fill the field. In the Bible, the way the author described the Christian life are in different forms. Maybe we are like farmers. We sow, we plow, we water, we watch, we wait, and we harvest. Like children, maybe we go through milk first and then slowly for solid food, for our bones to grow. Like runners, the Bible says we need to run with endurance and perseverance, looking at such a heroes ahead of us, how they inherited the kingdom of God. Pilgrims, like waiting for the coming king. So there are many illustrations, but all this illustration requires us to wait. What is that? Wait. The ability to wait shows us that we are truly trusting Him. So I found this, Psalms 23 antithesis. I don't know whether you have heard it before. I find it quite interesting. Psalms 23, on the opposite, it says, the clock is my dictator. I shall not rest. It makes me lie down only when exhausted. It leads me into deep depression. It hounds my soul. It leads me in circle of frenzy for activity's sake. Even though I run frantically from task to task, I will never get it all done, for my ideal is with me. Deadlines and my needs for approval, they drive me. They demand performance from me beyond the limits of my schedule. They annoy my head with migraines. That's me. My inbox overflows. You know, your PM, your personal chat also overflows. Your chat group also overflows. Surely, fatigue and time pressures shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the bonds of frustration forever. How many of you, these psalms kind of speak to you a little bit? Yes. Migraine, they annoy me. We are chasing one high after another. We are going after one adrenaline after another. We are constantly chasing. But if you want to count the cost, at least I want to say, you make some space and time to unhurry yourself first. Are you all with me? So far, okay? The time is your shepherd, or the Lord is your shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He leads me lie down on the green pasture, leads me beside the still water. I just want you to know, we say one thing, we live one thing. We say one thing, we live one thing. So as a result of that, God is not confused. We are confused. Because why? We don't know how to count the cost. We don't know. We just say, like during my days, you got to be an engineer, doctor, accountant, architect. Nah, then you got future. So we don't really know what's the cost of signing up for these things. We just want to sign because the world tells us that's the way. But that is so not true for every one of us. It is very important for us to understand before you make a decision, count the cost. Secondly, and this is very important, I don't want you to miss it. It is the discipline of letting go. This speaks to me a lot because I felt I would be a person that harbor, you know, whole grudges. And the more I grow old, the more I carry a lot of baggage. Baggage of past relationship, taking on upon myself of the guilt of why people leave church, why people don't follow Christ anymore, why this relationship didn't work out after they see me, why this business partner fall apart after they see me, why this investment didn't go well when it promised so many things and people laid up to me and they are in a state where I thought, man, what have I done? And I carry upon myself more and more burdens, more and more stress. You know, before the 1900, this word stress was non-existent. And one of the very important reasons for a clock is to sync one station, train station to another train station, so they are talking about the same timing. But with this transportation being invented, there are more things that you can carry, there are more things that you can done. So no longer people follow the sun for how they live. With the invention of lights, the day just get longer. And we will never have enough until there's a brand called 25 hours. But I want to say this, Hebrews 12, verse 1 to verse 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside. Everyone say lay aside. It is so important for us to lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You still need to run. I still need to run. I'm not promoting laziness. I'm not promoting a procrastinating life. We still need to run. But run lightly. That means run carrying the burden of Jesus, trusting that He will do the job. You are invited to be a partner. So what's the problem here? You are not letting go. You are holding on to a lot of unnecessary burden. So what I want to teach you when it comes to the discipline of saying no, this is very straightforward. This is very simple. Many times when people ask Jesus, why are you not doing this? The time is not yet. So when Jesus learns to say no, it is the best way to let go of the public perception of a Messiah. That means what Jesus did for us to say is that you think I'm like that. You think that I should be like that. But that's what my Father wants. That's why I'm like that. So first thing you need to learn as a discipline is to say no with confidence. Say no with confidence. It is to understand that you need to learn to say no. Turn to a neighbor and say, no. I like some of you, you point. No. No, 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 no. You can't just say yes all the time. Learn to say no with confidence. Learn to set clear boundaries. You know, I missed out one. Identify the vital few. One of the books that really helped me recently is the book on Essentialism by Greg McKeown. It's a great book. If you want to read, I think it is awesome. And then he got the second book called Effortless, and it's really meaningful as well. So these are books I believe he's a believer. A lot of his principles are very biblical. So you can search out for that book. But set clear boundaries. And all the young people, the final one, let go of FOMO. Let go. It's okay. Celebrate people watching Taylor Swift. Fine. It's okay when people got the ticket for Blackpink. Fine. If okay, some of them go to Coldplay and you didn't go. Fine. It is okay they are eating sashimi in Osaka. It is also okay that they go to Hong Kong for wonton mee. It is okay also. Just let go of FOMO because it will never end as long as you have social media. How many of you have at least one friend currently in Singapore? Raise your hand. See, why are you not there? People ask you, what's wrong with you? Why are you not there? Then you FOMO. You understand? Like how many of you have at least one friend in Australia right now? Oh, so many. I didn't expect that. Because I know Sophia and Wei Shen just went to Melbourne. Angelica and Juan is in Fukuoka. How many of you got friend that at least this year already visited Japan? How many of you have friends that went to China and say it's not bad? You keep raising your hand. I hope auto call is like that. You just keep raising your hand. Why you know, why not? Why you know? Because you keep checking on people. How many of you wish the omakase you are sitting in front of the chef? How many of you just saw like people grill the wagyu beef and it's like sizzling? How many of you? Yeah, it's no end to it. Let go of FOMO. Learn to appreciate yourself. Learn to let go. At times, you need to learn to let go of quantity in pursuit of quality. The discipline of elimination is primary to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. If we don't know how to eliminate, I want to tell you, you can follow Jesus, but it's very, 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 very far. So far, so small, because you are carrying so many bags, it's like, I cannot follow. I cannot follow. So part of discipleship, like Peter, is to let go of the net, let go of the boat. Part of discipleship is like Matthew, let go of the tax office position and follow. Like Paul, let go of the high ranks and the position of the admiration of the whole Pharisee world and follow Jesus. If we don't know how to let go, I want to tell you, it's always a burden to follow Jesus. But if you know how to let go, it's always an adventure to follow Jesus. Because whatever you let go, friends, whatever you let go, God has better things for you. Can I have an amen? Whatever you let go, whenever you sacrifice something as compared to what God has prepared for you, your sacrifice is always so small. And that is my life. There are many times I thought I've sacrificed a lot. But as compared to what God has blessed me, I want to tell you, it is nothing compared to the price that He has paid. And finally, with this, our end, the discipline of simplicity. The discipline of simplicity. At the end of the day, what truly matters? Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 29, it says, "See, this alone I have found." This is the word of wisdom from a very wise man that has tasted everything. And he said, that God made men upright, but they have sought out many schemes. God made men upright, but they have sought out many, many other methods. Simplicity is an inward reality that results in an outward lifestyle. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "Therefore, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." It is so simple that the chief question that we need to answer in our lives to embrace a lifestyle of simplicity is this. Is your whole life about obedience to God or your own flesh? You just need to answer this. That if it is obedience to God, it is very simple. Forgive, Lord. If it is about obedience, right, everything is made very clear. One. Of course, you need to be the bigger person. Of course, you need to be giver. Of course, you need to set aside your priority. Because it's for obedience, it's not for results. Results, I let God decide. My portion, my responsibility is to obey. When will that happen? I don't know. How big will be the reward? I don't know. What will it become? I don't know. But I know it's so simple. Obey. Every time I obey. Many people say, why do you do this? Why do you do that? I obey. I obey with anticipation that my discipler, as an apprentice, he knows better than me. Because he was tempted in all ways, yet without sin. So someone that has passed through the test of simplicity wrote Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 to 12. And this is the Apostle Paul said, "I'm not saying this because I'm in need. For I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can be all things to all men so that I can win some for the Lord. He is so simple that his life is about the gospel. That whatever it is, keep it simple. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, keep it simple? Collective. The Bible says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself, take up the cross and follow him. This means you have humility and willingness. You know the cost of discipleship. And you will not be afraid to invite people to come along this journey, because whatever Jesus have on the other side for you, it's always better. But today, why do I share about being unhurried, ability to let go, or living a simple, simplicity life? Because, listen to my heart, everybody, we can't be making decisions that is out of a fractured and fragmented soul. Too many people, when they come to me, they make a decision based on fear, make a decision based on pain, make a decision based on wounds of the past, make a decision based on insecurity. They make decision based on so many fragmented and fractured soul. Unless you slow down, unless you are willing to let go, unless you choose a life of simplicity, I guarantee you, it will always not be enough. You will always have something else you want to chase. So, when you are in a hurry, you are often caught in the worst state of your responsibility or roles. I have many versions of me as a father, but the worst state of me is always when I'm in a hurry. So yesterday, because later on I'm flying off for a mission, yesterday, I decided, I say, Justin, just arrange nothing for me so that I can be home with kids. I just want to spend the whole day with them and just being with them because I've been traveling a lot. So we had a pretty chill day and everything. Up till dinner, I ordered Uncle Soon. How many of you know what is Uncle Soon fried rice? Y'all like Uncle Soon or Uncle Huat? Uncle Huat, raise your hand. Don't know what is Uncle Huat. Okay, y'all like Ding Tai Fung fried rice or Uncle Soon fried rice? Uncle Soon fried rice, raise your hand. Ding Tai Fung fried rice, raise your hand. Okay, this has nothing to do with the sermon. Is it okay? I'm just saying fried rice. Ryan has a phobia of fried rice in Jesus' name. Be delivered. And every youth, you know, is about fried rice and pizza. And then that shows how much he loves the youth, that he has to eat fried rice. He can't eat, but he will have to tolerate the fried rice. But okay, back. So I ordered 3 packs of Uncle Soon. And then when it came, I ordered some dumplings. This is what I did. I took a bowl because I don't want to eat a lot. I said, all of you give me 2 spoons. So I tiding. I teach tiding, you know. This one. So Kira is very fast. Give. And then I passed my bowl to KD. And then KD was about to give. Then KS very eager to give. And he scooped a big one and he wanted to put to the rice. And then KD withdraw her hand. And then KS just, pam. It was all over the table. It's okay. Let's clean it up. So, really, I said, I just said, KD, why do you want to pull it away? But it's my turn to give what? Okay. Never mind. Just eat in peace because tomorrow I'm flying. I don't want the last image of them, of their father, is enraged and everything. So, we cleaned up. Then I finished already. I sat at the living room. I watched them. Then they talk and then we talk. And then in one spur moment, right, Chaos was so excited. I don't know what he did. He talked. I saw the fried rice, the whole Tupperware, boom, on the air. Glorious. This time, it's not just the table. It's the whole floor. Kira was very fast. I clean, Papa. Don't worry. It's okay. There, I made a choice. Why did I stay home? If I, at 7 o'clock, need to go for prayer meeting, or I have something in a hurry that I have to finish, I would burst. I want to tell you, as much as you see me as a nice, kind person, I have my temper. I have my temper at home. And I, it's okay. Yes, step aside. Because it's very oily, I don't think the more he clean, the more dirty it will be anyway. So step aside, I'll clean. Kira was helping. I was doing detergent, everything. Finished already. Then Kira asked me, Papa, what happened to you? Are you okay? Like, she's thinking, I go crazy already. Like, I don't even know how to be angry. Are you okay? I said, I'm okay. It's just fried rice. But that version of fatherhood can only come out when I unhurried myself. Do you know how you pray? God heal me, God give me, God bless me, God da 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 da. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you know how you pray? Because you are in a hurry. Do you know how you worship? Ayah, why this song sing again, the chorus? Why so many times? Touch already, touch. Stop there already. Do you know how you read the Bible? You look how many verses first so that you can finish the passage. Do you know how you listen to sermon? 1.8. 2. You just want to finish everything you want to finish. Do you know how you drive? Do you know how you eat? I time my family, we eat all 3 minutes. Everywhere we go, 3 minutes. But when I went to silent retreat, and when my spiritual director number one challenge is to tell me, try to eat for 30 minutes, it was torturous. I think I eat one grain at a time, also don't need 30 minutes. But then after that, I realized, oh, it is actually good for my soul that I can enjoy my meal. How long have you not enjoyed a meal? How long have you not really talked to your spouse? How long have you not looked at your parents' wrinkle and gray hair and appreciate them for taking care of you? We are always in a hurry. The cause of discipleship is only big when we are always in a hurry. But when you slow down, you have a semblance of self-confidence, you know God has your back. Can I have an amen? When you slow down, I know your business is up and down. I know your marriage up and down. I know your health up and down. But when you slow down, when you hear your shepherd, you will know that the Lord is my shepherd rather than the time is my dictator. So I pray you have the courage to count the costs, that collective, one day, people might ask you, I come to church so long, why nobody challenged me to really follow what the Bible says? What are you going to answer? If one day my children grow up and realize that, hey, Papa, you never tell me that follow Jesus is like that. What am I going to answer? We are only answerable to men, or we are eventually or ultimately answerable to God. So I pray the Lord is good. He will not just immediately ask you to deep dive into 50 meters, those that are diving. Maybe it is your 10 meter by the pool. It is just a diving pool somewhere. It is fine. Maybe you are just learning bubbling by the side. It is fine. But I want to tell you first, there is a cause to follow Jesus Christ. And collective, we are Christians, disciples that are willing to pay that cost. And we know that the cost that is paid will eventually make us to be more and more like Jesus Christ. Can I have an amen? So the best gift that you can give to your children is to show them that there is a cost to pay so that they know. Too many of us parents, we shield our children until once they go into college, once they go into uni, they realize the commitment as a Christian is so high. All the cost has been borne by you. As a result of that, they got a very rude awakening that they say, I'm not ready for this. I don't want us, one day when you face your trials and tribulations, you give up on God. But one day when you face your trials and tribulation, I want you to hold closer to God because you have always been an apprentice of Jesus Christ. Can I have an amen? So I just want to pray. Jesus, I thank you for paying the cost. I thank you for setting an example for us to follow. And Father, our lives should be patterned after you. That today we make three simple decisions. We learn to unhurry ourselves. We learn to let go. And we learn to embrace a life of simplicity. The world is too complex because we want to live in that kind of life. And Father, the continuous pursuit of status, the continuous pursuit of materialism, the continuous pursuit of just achievements has not brought us to be a better place, to be a better person. But God, we know effort, attitude, character, perseverance, endurance, a winning mentality is needful. But Lord, those are not excuses for us to slow down and trust you. I just pray that this church, as we continue on to commit ourselves to build the kingdom of God, that we will not sacrifice our intimacy with you in exchange of speed. We will not sacrifice our intimacy with you in exchange for results. We will not sacrifice our intimacy with you in exchange for just fame. We want to do it your way, and your way is better. We commit everyone to you. May we be a disciple of Jesus Christ, that we say to ourselves, I am willing to count the cost. So I unhurried myself, I let go of the pain of the past, and I choose to live a non-formal and a not complex life. We thank you, Jesus. We commit ourselves to you in the coming season. Help us to continue to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And as you come back in glory, you will find us faithful. As you come back on the second time, you will find us to be the good and faithful servant that has served you and follow you all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, everyone say, Amen. You know, before we go, can we give God a big hand? Hallelujah. Amen. So, I want you to do one thing that is unhurried. Pray for one neighbor for 1 minute. Just put your hands on their shoulder. Pray for them. If you have a word that you feel God is giving to you, just pray for them and then we'll be dismissed. He said, okay, pray for one person. If God immediately dropped a name to you, just bravely walk to that person, pray for them, and I pray we'll be a church that is willing to follow Jesus Christ all the days of our lives. So let's go. Pray for someone. God bless you. Happy Sunday.